I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Goodness sake, Beth. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not America's sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Good afternoon. I'm Heidi Harris in for Annie Fry. Got the whole team here today. We got Ryan and, of course, Brad, and having a great afternoon. It's been a while since I filled in for Annie. Remember, I did a whole lot of that when she was having her baby.
Yeah, that was over the summer, and it was a lot of me and you.
That was before Brad was even part of the show.
Yeah.
That was, and I heard her mention yesterday on her show, her daughter's 17 months old. That's how long ago that's been.
That's correct. It's surprising. Whenever I see Molly, I think you are older than it seems you should be.
Yeah.
It's hard to believe. And I also was laughing. I was hearing Annie talk yesterday about when she, the first time she ever did a 3-hour show. And I remembered the first time I did 3 hours, I just came home and I just collapsed on the couch. I was like, oh my gosh. You know, people don't realize, I mean, I'm not saying it's digging ditches here, guys. I'm not saying that. Okay. Don't. But it's just a different type of thing. And if the first time you do a 3 hours, you're like, oh my gosh, I don't know how I did that.
Yeah, it's mentally, you come up with so much stuff that you're like, this is what I'm going to do. And then it never goes to that plan.
Mm-mm.
And you always walk away with way more than you were able to talk about, surprisingly, after 3 hours.
Yep. I have a huge stack of things that I'm probably not going to get to today, but I did want to get to this, this crazy story in Walmart. This is a Walmart manager who apparently had worked at Walmart for 12 years. Isn't that weird that you could work there? He worked there from the time he was 18. Okay. His name is Andre Bing, not a white guy with a MAGA hat on, which of course the media was hoping, kills six people and wounds some other people. But it's crazy that, can you imagine you work with a guy from the time he's 18, you know, maybe you work with him that whole time, maybe work with him a few years, whatever. And all of a sudden he just goes postal on you one day.
Yeah. It's hard to figure out what in the world is going on inside this guy's head. Cause it does seem surprising that after, I don't know. I mean, anything's weird when you're talking about a murderer, but a guy who's been at the same company for 18 years and all of a sudden it just, today is the day?
Well, since he was 18. And they said that two of the people were found in the break room.
Right.
Okay. And then one person was found dead near the front of the store. And we don't know. I don't know if all the people were actual employees of Walmart or not. There was one guy, you probably saw the video, the guy using language we can't use on the air, talking about what happened because he barely escaped. I guess he ran out of there right before something happened. I mean, this is just a crazy story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what makes you want to go to work and shoot your coworkers?
Oh, I've had days like that. Don't lie, Brad. Don't lie. Come on,
I'm
Ryan.
I'm not lying.
You're on
I'm
my side.
I'm not glad
right?
to hear that because I work with you.
No, I've never ever. I mean, we've all had frustrating situations. It was funny. A couple years back, I was asked to fill in for a radio host in another market I will not mention. Because they had to fire him. He was really popular.
Who was it? What market was it?
I can't do that. But here's the thing. He was really popular, and they made the station a lot of money, but he physically attacked his producer.
I've done that.
Yeah, I know.
Brad.
I've been tempted. Not,
he
not
did
you
that
guys,
one
but
time.
Right. But that's the thing. So he physically attacked his producer. So they had to fire him. And of course, they lost a lot of money and this and that. And the other. And the boss called me. He was in a panic. He's like, can you come fill? I said, yeah, okay. Anyway, here's the funny thing, though. Nowadays, and I don't want to go off on this topic, but I just wanted to mention the parallel. If you look at the policies they have in schools now, restorative justice, you can hit a teacher over the head with a chair and get back to school the next week. So why can't I attack my producer?
Oh, I hope that's not true, because we just so happen to be married to teachers.
Yeah. Well, they taught me in school I could abuse my teacher and go back to work the next
week.
If
somebody attacks my wife, they are not going to be able to come back to school in a day.
Can you imagine? I mean, it's completely gone nuts. So going back to this Walmart thing, I worked with a guy years ago, because we don't have a lot of details. So we know what he used and things like that. Ultimately, he killed himself. He used a pistol. Was found dead in the store. That's just the latest that we know. 31 years old, as I mentioned. He'd worked at Walmart for 12 years, so since he was 18. Apparently, one employee who worked the overnight shift said she saw him come into the break room and without a word began shooting. Wow. I mean, what do you even say about something like this?
You say this guy's crazy and he's gone? And it seems obvious that he planned it. You know, I mean, I don't think this was the heat of the moment thing. He obviously planned to do this. He planned to kill himself that today or whatever day that was.
Yeah.
And there's not much more you can say other than this guy completely lost his mind.
Mm-hmm. And what could you do? Let's say you were going to, I mean, clearly I'm sure they don't allow weapons to be brought to work, but if you're not going to be able to put metal detectors, you know, in the employee, I guess you could in every entrance, but if you really were determined to hurt people, you could have somebody else. They don't have metal detectors when you walk into Walmart. So you could have somebody else hide a gun behind some merchandise or whatever and get it later if you were that crazy, right? If you're trying to get around some type of employee entrance scanner or something like that. So I'm just trying to think of how to prevent this.
The thing about it is, too, is like even if you have metal detectors don't mean a thing if there's not somebody there to enforce them.
Good point.
So if you add a metal detector, that means you have to have a guard there. Well, the reason you have the metal detectors, you're trying to prevent armed people from entering, which means that guard needs to be armed.
Also, the idea, Heidi, that we're going to, and this isn't what you're saying, but that we could litigate our way out of this, that we could put up enough guardrails that it would stop this stuff from happening. It's not going to happen. It's irrational to think that.
My pastor has a saying, and the saying is that you cannot legislate heart change. And this issue, at the end of the day, is not an issue of laws or legality or guns or anything like that. This is a heart issue.
Yeah, you know,
it's
so true.
It's a broken individual that is going to go shoot up a place because of whatever's going on in their own life or whatever reason that they have. They're just not there, and they're broken.
Yeah, we don't know much about it. It's motivation or anything else. One survivor told the local outlet, a TV outlet, that she heard the gunman laughing at some point during the attack, and that he deliberately targeted a room full of staff who had gathered to discuss the shift they'd just completed. Wow.
Yeah, it's tough because I think all of us, when we're seeing these stories, which we're seeing more and more and more of course, you start to ask why, and you're looking at a terribly broken society. And I think Brad was just saying this in more or less words, that we've had the soul of this nation just completely drained. I mean, it's not, and it's always the most vulnerable or the most crazy among us that are going to act on this first. Well, so it's not as if every single person's that way.
The fringes of something are always the first to hit the edges.
Right, right.
You know? So
that's true.
Yeah, I can't. We can't ignore the problem that, as a society, Ryan, like you said, we can't ignore that as a society, we have a broken society. We can't ignore the fact that evil exists. You can't ignore it.
I think what bothers me is that the conversation that we keep having after a shooting is about guns. And we can talk, even if we said, let's all agree to do XYZ on guns, that's fine. But we're not, first of all, we're not agreeing on anything regarding weapons. And yet, that's where the conversation keeps going, and it becomes the same screaming match, and nobody's actually willing to talk about the stuff that we're talking about right now.
Let's get at the root of the issue and stop talking about the methodology that the issue was carried out with. Life lost is a life lost. A life taken is a life taken that's tragic, no matter what way it was taken. If it was bare hands, a hammer, you know, a screwdriver or a gun. It's not that. It's that the person who was killed lost their lives and their life was tragically taken by another individual. Let's get to the why of that.
Well, yeah, we got to try to figure this out because I don't care if you're at a Walmart, at some other workplace, a gay bar, whatever. That is not the solution to the problem. And as we mentioned, this is always some disaffected loser who's doing this kind of thing. And a big part of it is that we've kicked God out of everything, every institution. out of school, out of everything. I got to tell you something. When you see what's going on with this country, and I know, listen, there have always been problems in the world. There have always been people trying to silence, you know, the so-called silence with the cancel culture and whatnot. That's always happened. It's nothing new in society. It seems to be more prevalent now. And my concern about a lot of things that are happening in America now is that it's just out there in the front. It used to be that there was evil going on behind the scenes, or, you know, you were carrying on an affair, you were doing this, you were doing that. But it was behind the scenes. Now people are like, yeah, I'm proud of my abortion. They walk around with T-shirts on talking
about. Yeah, that's new.
Well, that's what I mean.
That way.
That's what I mean. People aren't even ashamed. There's a passage in the Bible, help me out, Brad, if you know it, where they talk about how they've forgotten how to even blush. Mm. And that's where we are now. As Christians, we have forgotten, or as a nation, we have forgotten how to blush. So when times get tough, I don't know what this guy's situation was. We have no idea what the motivation at this point. Let me know if you guys find it or see anything. But the biggest issue is they don't give anything to God. Let's say he had a problem with a coworker. We've all been there. We can all raise our hand, right? Somebody drove you crazy or whatever. So you have to ultimately give it to God. If your life's tough, if your bills are piling up, if your health's an issue, your marriage is in shambles, you have to ultimately give these things to God. And if you don't, no wonder people feel like your back's up against a wall.
Well, the whole idea of even the common Judeo-Christian ethic or spirituality has been so pushed out of the public discourse that it's almost like you're not allowed to say the things that you're talking about right now, Heidi. I mean, there are people that right now who are like cringing just because you're saying them because they're uncomfortable. These used to be conversations that you had all over the place. These were common conversations you'd have at a bar stool or in church or wherever, in the car,
right. Whatever.
These are common conversations that, for whatever reason, whether it be that those of us who do talk about these things haven't been bold enough, or we've been pushed so hard that this stuff's been marginalized and said you can't have this in the public square anymore. This isn't allowed, or it's uncouth. You know, it's not cool. Right. It's not okay to talk about that.
Yeah, but I feel like we've moved these conversations out of the public square, and look at what we're getting.
Well, that's my point. Yeah, right. Is that they've been removed, and so because we have no common ethic anymore.
Right. And here's the other thing too. Like, and I know we've got listeners that are listening right now that are not Christians and stuff like that. Do you? But please talk to me about it, because there's a big problem in the world that we have to have this conversation, and we got to get to the bottom of it. And maybe there's some sort of common ground we can come to. But like the idea that I don't believe what you believe, and therefore we should just never talk to one another about it is just, it's not going to help anything.
No, that's crazy. And I'm looking here at some more information, and they're saying that his coworkers feared him because he was worried about government surveillance. Okay. Now, once again, don't know a lot yet, but there are people like that. I worked with a guy years and years ago at a company, and he was so, I guess the best word I can describe it, best term is he was very tightly wound, the kind of person you felt like could just go off any second. And my husband, who was not my husband yet at the time, said to me, if that guy ever gets fired, you don't go back there. And I really felt like that he was very dangerous, and I tried to stay away from him as much as I could. But here's a guy, it sounds like he could have had some mental illness issues if he's worried about government surveillance. I mean, we know what happens. I mean, you're worried about Google? Okay. Everything we're doing pretty much is being watched at this point. But if he's talking about government surveillance and those kinds of things, people who tend to do that openly in those kind of situations, maybe they have some kind of mental illness issues. And then they sit at home and they get on the dark web, or they get on this or that, and they're looking at all these situations. They go, oh, look, the government's watching me, or whatever. And they get themselves all worked up. But still, how does that lead to you going to work and killing innocent coworkers? Where's the connection? I don't get it.
I wonder, too. I mean, even as we're talking about it, is there a connection between an increase in these things? And I don't know. I'm just honestly just thinking out loud here. Is there, are we seeing an increase in these murders and these violent acts after COVID, because we've had people completely isolated? You know, people who were on the fringe, that they've been pushed so far out, and you have so much less social interaction with people over the last couple of years, that has that driven people further out? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I think the lockdowns have been really hard on a lot of people, but here's a guy who at least had a job for now. I don't know what his situation was. We really don't know yet. Maybe we'll find out. I don't trust the media to tell us what really happened. But I know that's been very tough on a lot of people, but I would say that for most people, that was more a suicide issue because the suicide rates went through the roof.
You're right.
When people were sick, right? And they had, issues with COVID or, issues from the shot or whatever it might be. And they were really suffering. There was suicide was through the roof. So there's that part of it. I don't understand why, no matter how bad things get, and we've all been through stuff, we could sit around the campfire and tell our stories of how somebody done us wrong. But you just have to ultimately lay it at the cross and let God handle it. You cannot go through life trying to settle scores. And some of these people, I don't understand them, whether it's the guy in the gay bar in Colorado or this guy. I mean, I don't get these people. How can I? I would never do this.
Coming up in the next segment, we're going to sit around the campfire and talk about how people's done us wrong.
Oh, everyone's got a story. You know that's true. We could all tell it. But I just think it's just odd. And I think that, what's going to happen down the road in the next coming days, weeks, whatever, we're going to start hearing about some kind of indicators, signs, red flags, whatever, that this guy had some issues. And maybe somebody expressed something to a boss and maybe it was ignored. I'm just going to guess that may be the case. Don't know for sure, but I would predict that that will come out, that there were some kind of warning signs, because almost without exception, when somebody goes off the rails and does something like this, somebody knew something or somebody felt uncomfortable around them and either nothing was done or they didn't know what they could do or couldn't say anything or whatever. So we just don't know, but I'm sure in the next couple of days, we'll get at least some of the truth. I don't know if we'll ever get all the truth. I'm Heidi Harris in for Annie Fry.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I'm Heidi Harris in for Annie Fry. She takes a couple of well-deserved days off. By the way, Sunday night, you can catch the Heidi Harris Show 7 to 9 p.m., 7 to 9 p.m. right here on 97.1 FM Talk. And right before my show, Ryan Wiggins' show, 5 to 7 p.m., Ryan.
5 to 7 on Sunday nights and 6 to 8 on Saturday mornings, Wiggins America.
All right, so we got you covered. We're not going to leave you on the weekends. Some stations do that, not us. We're going to make sure you have talk all weekend long.
Some stations hate you. We don't. We love you. We would never do that to you.
Valid, totally valid. All right, let's make fun of Tom Brady for a second, shall we?
Yep, let's do it.
Okay, who doesn't love Tom Brady?
I do not have any feelings about Tom Brady one way or another.
So I used to hate his guts, and that goes back to the 2001 Super Bowl when the Patriots beat the Rams.
Yes,
and
that's right. The one side of the seesaw for me.
Yeah, and I'll be honest with you, I still maintain that Super Bowl was rigged because it was 2001, it was right after September 11th, and they needed a team called the Patriots, who was an underdog.
Are you
to
going back
one.
To the campfire to talk about your old wounds, or is that what we're doing here, Brad?
Just for this segment,
Heidi.
Sounds pretty fresh.
This is St. Louis's wounds. That's not Brad's wounds.
Yeah, this is St. Louis.
No, I get it.
That Adam Vinatieri field goal hurts my heart every time I see it.
Yeah, but he was a great kicker. What can
I
tell
you?
Oh,
he was. He was.
Yes,
but
he was amazing.
As of late, as I've gotten farther away, and my thing with Tom Brady was always, was it him or was it Belichick? Well, when he separated from Belichick and he went to Tampa Bay and then he won a Super Bowl there and the Patriots have kind of fizzled, I was like, oh, it was Brady. And he is really one of the best quarterbacks to have ever played the game, even though
yes,
I don't
like
him.
Yes, he is, but everybody has, every dog has his day. Everybody has, you know, a moment when they peak. And now Tom Brady, as you know, has just, he and his wife have gotten divorced. Who knows who dumped who? We don't have any idea what went on in their marriage, obviously. But he does a podcast every week, which I don't listen to. I've never heard it. I'm not putting it down. I just haven't heard it. But apparently he's talking about, there's a story in the New York Post, how since the news of the marital strife broke, Brady's been spending more quality time with all of his children. Well, why didn't you do that before you broke up your marriage? I'm just asking. I don't, you know.
Could that be what led to the breakup of the marriage to begin with?
I'm just asking, Tom. I don't know what went on with them. I don't know if it's because he decided to unretire from football. How could I possibly know? I don't know these people. But in October, they said, the doting dad took his kids trick-or-treating for Halloween and volunteering at a local food bank. Photo op! Photo op! Come on, Tom. Come on. Are we fooled by this?
Was he wearing sunglasses?
Food bank, brother. I don't know.
And a hat.
But once again, not knowing him, but here's the important thing that I wanted to pick on him about, and not pick on him because I don't know about him personally, but as a child of divorce, I wanted to mention this. He said on his podcast, obviously the good news is it's a very amicable situation. I'm really focused on two things, taking care of my family and certainly my children. And secondly, doing the very best job I can to win football games. And I would argue as a child of divorce, your parents married, still married, Ryan?
Mm-hmm.
Brad?
Yes.
Your parents still married? Okay. See? How weird is that, right? Good for you guys.
It's not weird at all.
I think it's great. But as a child of divorce, the first thing that you should do to benefit your children is to stay married. Not that you need to through gritted teeth. If it's that miserable, who knows? And I don't know these people. I'm just talking about the principle that when you say, oh, the only thing I care about is my kids. No, that's not true. You care more about football than you care about anything. It certainly looks as if he would rather play football than be with his wife and kids.
I think we need to get Tom Brady on the phone. Can you do that, Brad?
Yeah.
I feel uncomfortable speaking for him. So
let me dial that up right now.
Here, I have seen this happen so many times where, you know, guys won't take care of their first marriage. And all of a sudden, you know, that like they don't have time for their wife. You know, they work all week and then they spend all Saturday playing, you know, golf or whatever, right? They totally ignore the first wife. They finally lose her. And then somehow they manage to work in wooing number two. And if you'd spent that time and effort sticking with number one, you'd be better off. That's all I'm saying.
Brad and I have decided to go ahead and try that on our first wives.
Ryan has decided to try that on his first wife. We literally just ran a promo where I said, I'm most thankful for my wife.
I'm saying trying the stick to it
thing. Oh, stick to it thing. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So
you'll appreciate this. The district attorney, who was a district attorney in Vegas for a long time, was the only person who ever put O.J. Simpson in prison. Okay. And I had known him for a long time, and I'd known his wife before they were married and everything. So we were friends off the air kind of thing. And he would send me a Christmas card every Christmas. We'd exchange Christmas cards. And I said to my husband every December, I'd say, you see this? I got a gun and a shovel and a Christmas card from the D.A.
And go on.
Just don't mess with me, buddy. That's
so
I'm saying.
Which husband are you on now?
I'm just saying, honey, I got a Christmas card from the district attorney. So you mess up, I ain't going to jail.
See, Brad, I think what she's implying is she was going to murder her husband, bury him, and the district attorney was her friend, so it wouldn't matter. It
wouldn't matter.
Yeah. I'm going to put him in a barrel. Yeah, I'm going to put him in a barrel in Lake Mead. How about something like that?
Right? Yeah.
That's what they do.
You put it in Lake Mead, you never know. That barrel might be out of the water again.
You never know if the water gets any lower, right? That's a crazy story. But the thing with I don't know Tom Brady's life. How could I possibly? But I just hear a lot of people say that when they get divorced. They say, the only thing I care about is my kids. And I would argue that the most important thing you can do for your children is to love their mother. And you know this, Brad, because you hear about a lot of this from a spiritual perspective. And you too, Ryan. There's a lot of talk about that. And it's true.
I mean, I hear what you're saying, and I think what you're saying, a lot of people would take issue with because they say, well, I tried everything I could, and it wouldn't work, and so I want to do what's best for my kids now that this won't work. But I do think what you're talking about is an important principle that we have overall as a society, just devalued marriage to the point where it's, you know, if it becomes inconvenient, we don't work for it like we once did.
You know, it's kind of weird. You sit here and you think about it. And I've said this and I'm going to say it and people are going to go, what? I don't know if I agree with that. We view the trait of stubbornness as a negative so much. But if you're stubborn in your marriage, if you're stubborn in the things that matter, I think that's actually a positive trait. And the whole thought would be that you're stubborn in it. I'm not giving up. This isn't over. I ain't quitting. I will figure this out. And that stubbornness in that buys you the time you need to sort the things out that you need to sort out. And hopefully you can make your marriage work.
Well, see, that's the whole thing. Not knowing him, you know, we can't talk about somebody we don't know, but I guess we are. My whole point is maybe it had nothing to do with him going back to play football. And who knows if she was, you know, hell on earth to live with. I don't know. But usually the pretty girls are. But ultimately, when you look at the situation, it would seem to me that he would say, look, I'm 45 years old. I'm going to step away from football and I'm going to focus on my family. And maybe I can't keep my family together because I'm not picking on anybody who's divorced and making you feel like you're trash. Who knows? You probably gave it everything you possibly had. And that's what you should do. When it comes to your children, you've got to say to your kids, I gave it everything I had to keep this marriage together.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I think about this. It's like, so you're in that situation. You're in the situation with Tom Brady. And I look at this from the husband's perspective. Let's just say, for speculation, that him going back to play football is what caused the divorce. Let's say it's that. Tom Brady, as the husband, in a marriage, you put your wife in front of what you want. And therefore, you say, well, I really think I have another year in me. I really think this would be good for me. But if this is what you want, I'm willing to make that sacrifice for you because
right.
I love
Thank
you.
Thank you.
But
exactly.
Like then you look at the flip side of that and you say, well, as the wife, you look at your husband and be like, man, I really don't want him to play football anymore because I miss him and I want him here and I want him around. But he loves it so much. And it's harder for me whenever he's playing football. But he loves it so much that I'm going to put this and I'm going to take this burden on and let him play football because I love him. And if both sides of a marriage approach the marriage with that sacrificial attitude toward it, where I'm going to put myself second in this relationship, just like so if the husband says that and the wife says that, you're not going to have the impasse of I want this and you want that and we don't agree on this because each side is going to be able to give to one another and be willing to make that sacrifice. And then it makes it work.
Yeah, I'm sure I understand what you're saying. And I know that in my professional career, I've made a lot of decisions. Well, every decision I make takes my marriage into account. Absolutely. And I've chosen my marriage over my career several times, and I'm not going to go into boring detail on that. But I absolutely have. There's nothing I don't, not because my husband tells me I can't do this or I can't do that. I'm not talking about that. But is it good? Is ultimately this going to be good for our family as our family is? And I get the feeling that not knowing Tom Brady, obviously, that was the case, that he just decided he was going to do this and that's it. Because she had said publicly, and once again, you're only hearing her side. She had said publicly, well, I made the sacrifice. And here's a woman who was making a fortune. She had as much money as he did, actually more money than he did. And she stepped aside, moved to Boston, not exactly the hubbub of modeling, moved to Boston, raised those kids for 10 years, gave all this up for all these years and years and years. And then it was her turn. And he was like, nah, still my turn. That's kind of what it sounded like. And I'm not even talking about them so much. It's just the larger issue. I've seen this happen with a lot of couples and you have to, there's got to be, you've got to figure it out. Both sides have to have an opinion.
Every marriage has some war stories to it, right? I mean, everybody can look back and say, okay, this was a time we really had to go through something. And sometimes it's external. It comes at the marriage. Sometimes it's internal. It comes from within the marriage. But, and full disclosure, when I said to Brad, get Tom Brady on the phone, I was joking. We don't actually
he's dialing.
Yeah, no, we actually don't have a relationship with Tom Brady. But I think it you're right, it brings up, you know, bigger issues about, you know, questions about what people go through and fight for in their marriage. And when, I don't know if you guys have ever known a couple or been a couple or whatever, that somebody within the marriage has cheated. Whenever that happens, first of all, everybody around them is like shockwaves, right? But then the question is always, what happens now? Does it, depending on which member of the marriage it was, does the wife leave because the husband was unfaithful? Does the husband leave because the wife was unfaithful? They have the right to do that, and that completely can be the case. But it's when people decide to stick through that. Sometimes it doesn't work, but they try to stick through it. I don't know that I ever have more respect for somebody than when they do that, because you know the pain that they're walking through. They're deliberately going face first into that pain and saying, I'm going to try it anyway. I tip my hat, because I can't imagine. I've never been in the situation. I don't know what I would do.
Well, and like the other side of that is, too, they still think that that relationship is worth it, even though they know at the end of the day it will never be what it was before that other person cheated. Yeah. There's always going to be that question in the back of their mind and all that stuff. Yeah. But they're saying this person, this relationship is worth it to put up with that.
Well, or our life together is worth it. Our children, our whatever we have, you know, the large extended family, it's worth. And, you know, I've never been in that situation either. But I think the first question I would ask myself, it's going to shock you guys, but how did this happen? Could I have been a better wife? Because there are people who say, oh, he cheated. Yeah, but, you know, you haven't done, you know, I'm not going to get into great. You know what I mean? You kind of abandoned him in a lot of ways long before he started dating his secretary or whatever, right? And that can happen on both sides. How much did you neglect your spouse before your spouse started finding affection someplace else? So I think if that kind of thing happens, it's weird for me to say this as a wife. First thing I do is a little self-reflection.
Well, reasons, yeah. I mean, but reasons aside, once it happens, the whole of the world is telling you leave.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there is almost not a voice that exists that says, hey, you might be able to stick this through. You're probably going to need counseling. You're probably going to need this and that. You're going to need a lot of things. You're going to need a lot of resources, a lot of people. But you could try. There really is very little telling you that at this point in modern America.
But also, you got to keep your mouth shut. I don't think you should tell everybody, because everyone's going to tell everybody, and then it becomes a big issue.
Oh, it's going to get out, regardless of whether.
Yeah,
it's going to get out. People talk.
You're probably right. It's going to get out, but you're right. I mean, the whole world will tell you that. I have a friend whose daughter was found out her husband was cheating on her when she was about, I don't know, 7 months pregnant with their first child, and the only people who told her, only people of all her friends, everybody she knew, only people who told her that maybe they could work this out were her mother and me.
Mm.
Because we're looking big picture. If she hadn't been pregnant, I'd have told you something totally different. You don't get rid of him. That's not how this works. Okay. You can dump him, but you are stuck with him the rest of your life. So maybe you guys could sit down and talk about what, you know, what he did and what you did and work it out together. And so, you know, that can happen too, but I'm not a marriage counselor, obviously. And I'm not trying to, you know, get into the Brady's business. I'm just looking at the larger picture. People think that kids, and I've been that child of divorce, they think kids are like sofas. You just drag them to a new house. Yeah. You spend Christmas here, Thanksgiving here, this, that, and the other. Oh, mom's going to be at this game. Dad's going to be at this game. This is their lives. I don't care how many nannies they have, how many drivers they have, how many cooks they have, how big their houses are. Their lives are irretrievably changed by this. That doesn't mean your life is over. My brother and I both are successfully married for a long time. I'm not saying that, but you just, as a parent, owe it to your children to do everything you possibly can to fight for your marriage, because it benefits them long term. That's all.
How many nannies and drivers did you have?
Zero. I had stay-home mom. I had no driver. I drank out of the hose in the backyard, and I walked to school.
Heck yeah. I couldn't walk to school because I lived way out in the country, but...
Oh, I think I can identify with that. I only had one driver and one... part-time sous chef.
That was your mom?
Yeah. No, this was separate. Yeah, this was Francois. Yeah.
I had none of that, my friend. I had, just whatever we... No, my mom actually was a very good cook, and I did not take after my mom, but she was very good. But she was a stay-home mom. I was lucky to have that. Everyone doesn't, I know. All right, coming up, we're going to talk about St. Louis now, trying to divvy up the money, the Rams settlement money. Oh, boy. I can only imagine how bad it's going to get. We'll get to that much more on The Annie Fry Show. I'm Heidi Harris, in for Annie Fry.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
I'm Heidi Harris, in for Annie Fry. Having a great afternoon. Annie's taking a couple of days off that she well deserves. You can catch me on Sunday nights right here on 97.1 FM Talk, 7 to 9 p.m. And right before my show, Ryan Wiggins, 5 to 7 p.m. So we got you covered from 5 to 9, don't we, Ryan?
Wiggins America, 5 to 7. Heidi Harris Show, 7 to 9 on Sunday nights.
Sunday nights. All right. What did I just predict a little while ago? That they were going to come up with some more information about this Walmart shooter that was disturbing. Signs that people saw. Now we're hearing, okay? Apparently, he was known to feud with coworkers and had a hostile attitude. I'm shocked. Apparently, he was someone new hires avoided, according to one person who started working for the store about 2 months ago. He was the manager to look out for, she said, because there was always something going on with him, just having an issue with somebody, but I never expected it to get to this level. Apparently, he had said a lot of disturbing things. She said he was condescending, lacking good communication skills, quite mean to a lot of people. Another coworker who worked for him for 3 years said he was paranoid. He was always saying the government was watching him. He didn't like social media and kept black tape on his phone camera. She said everyone always thought something was wrong with him. So there
the
you
problem
go,
is there's always some rando like that somewhere where you're at. So you can't assume every single one of them is going to become a murderer, though, you know?
Right. It's true. And if you don't know who that rando is, it's you. Is that what you're saying?
That is what I'm saying. It's
okay.
You.
You said he put black tape on the camera on his phone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All my webcams at home have a cover on them. That
maybe
I close.
It's you.
But like, I just do that because Mark Zuckerberg did it. I saw it on a background picture.
Right.
Of his.
Thank you. I saw that too. I thought if Mark Zuckerberg's doing it, I'm doing it. But then I never sit in front of my computer naked or anything scary like that. So, oh my gosh, horrifying. Yes. But he has a piece of tape on his camera, which is interesting. Anyway, I don't know. I'm just not surprised that there's more information coming out about it.
Yeah.
And it breaks my heart, and there'll be more coming out in the coming days and weeks, I'm sure. All right, let's get to this. This is so fun. $500 million apparently is remaining in the settlement money from the lawsuit over the Rams relocation, and now they've got a 2-page tentative agreement released by Mayor Tashara Jones' office. Tells you where the money's going to go. Kind of sorted. You guys see this?
Yeah. Yes. Yes, I have. But go ahead.
I have it right here.
They broke it down. City shall receive $250 million plus an additional $30 million on contingency. But I don't see a line item thing. You see a line item thing anywhere?
There is not. I don't think they've decided how to spend it yet.
Hashtag black hole. Black hole. Black hole.
It's going right? into a slush fund.
Yeah, thank you. The county's going to receive $169 million. I see a lot of money that's going to be split up, but I don't see where it's going to go. I thought, weren't they going to vote on that? Wasn't there like going to be, weren't there some polls or something they were taking on that?
It's apparently so disorganized. I saw at least one member of the county council say, oh, this is great that I'm finding this out from the media and not from the lawsuit itself or from the city. You know, that's crazy, isn't it? These people are finding it out the same way we are. They should be having discussions this whole time. Apparently, they're not.
Yeah. $275 million in attorney's fees.
Wow.
Yeah, that's why I want to be an attorney next.
Right?
You said before, we were going to talk about this a minute ago, and Brad, you popped up and you said you think the settlement was low.
I do. I think, well, part of me, I was like, to me, it was never about the money, and it was always about the information and discovery. And I knew whenever the minute they would settle, that everything that they found in that settlement was not going to go public. And the thing is that was what was most valuable to the NFL.
Oh, right. You're exactly right. That's why they settled, because they were terrified they were going to have an actual trial. Yep,
which I would have exactly liked, right. No, we're going to have a trial, and we're going to make all this public, and I don't care if we win $1 million. We're going to hose you on this.
Exactly. We're going to know exactly what you did. We're going to know exactly how much money you make, exactly what you do. Yeah, talk a little bit about that, Brad, because that was a big deal, and that's why they went, okay, we'll settle.
Well, they had the rights to go through phone records, phone calls, everything, right, to see if there was any sort of, like, for lack of a better term, collusion among the owners to move this team out of St. Louis.
It. No, there
and,
wasn't collusion.
And it's like you had all of this opportunity to do it, and you're like, but $500 million. And
well,
half of that,
$790 million, $275 million went to the lawyers.
Right, but yeah, then $275 million went to the lawyers. So, Right. Like, I understand why the lawyers like, ooh, let's settle.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Your legal counsel has a vested interest here.
We recommend that you settle. Why? Well, our fee is going to be $275 million, and if we go, there's a chance we would win, and therefore our fee is not going to be that big.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right. Exactly. Right. I mean, that's so true. It comes down to the money, doesn't it? Always come down to the money.
Yeah.
But that's what they were terrified of. They were going to have to open all these records up, weren't they?
Well, yeah. And if they open those records up, it makes you wonder, would they be able to then move teams like they want to move teams? You know, like the whole thing is right now the NFL leverages their ability to move a team to force cities and states and whatnot to provide taxpayer funding for stadiums. And these are billionaires.
No, they don't do that, Raider Stadium. They don't do that. Stop
these
it.
These are billionaires. Let them build their own stadiums. Let them build their own coliseums.
Come out to Vegas and look at that piece of crap that looks like a Roomba that we are paying a fortune for in Vegas. Don't even get me started on that.
If I'm the CEO of Roomba, I'm paying for naming rights to that stadium.
That lousy, they should have named it Roomba Stadium. That lousy team has that stadium. It's costing the taxpayers a fortune. Nobody's a bigger sucker than the people in Vegas. They are suckers.
Well, I'm looking forward to the one nice thing that's going to happen is that this $250 million city is going to receive is going to be, I'm sure, spent on cleaning the city up. We're going to have a lot more.
I'm looking for that. Hold
Ryan,
on.
Ryan, it's going to be spent well. It's going to the St. Louis Unidentified or Undesignated Spending Helps Fund.
Black hole. Yeah, because I'm looking for what you're talking about, Ryan. I don't see anything here about county shall receive $169 million. That's it. That's all I see. No specifics.
City shall receive $250 million plus an additional $30 million on contingency. Contingency funds shall be distributed pursuant to the following conditions. Blah, 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 blah. Where's my $250 million to clean up this city?
Blah, blah, blah.
I'm tired of driving over metal plates on Tucker.
No kidding. Well, it's going to all end now, Brad. That's all.
Just on that one intersection, though. And they're like, where's the rest of it? Well, we spent it all on that.
Yeah. Where's my dog park? Where's my baseball field? Where's my this? Where's my that? Right? No, oh, boy.
Yeah. Hey, finally, some of the downtown businesses are getting windows again instead of boards. How about that?
I don't know
the price of plywood anymore.
Oh,
yeah,
ouch.
It costs more than windows.
Funny, not funny.
Funny, not funny.
Well, don't we all know that the money's not going to be... Can we all agree on one thing, that the money is not going to be spent effectively? Would that be fair to say?
I don't know that, but I have strong suspicions.
I would say based on their track record, it's going to be fine.
Oh, it is. Okay.
I have high hopes. This is Thanksgiving Eve, so we're all... very chipper. We're looking forward to things. We're not looking behind.
The city of St. Louis is going to be responsible, and God bless us, everyone.
Exactly.
Okay, Tiny Tim. So true. All right, speaking of Thanksgiving, so you do a what now, Brad? Tell everybody again.
So my family's coming over to our house for the first time, so we're doing Thanksgiving at my house for the first time ever. And my wife and I are going to smoke a turkey, which I say my wife and I are going to do it. Basically, one of us is going to put it on the smoker, and then the other, and we're going to take turns going out and checking the temperature until it's done. Smoking on a pellet smoker is incredibly easy, and I cannot recommend it enough to most people.
And also, Heidi, just so you know, it is actually now legal to smoke turkey in Illinois. I prefer to treat my turkey as an edible, though.
Well said.
Thank you. I wish this was 2 minutes later. We'd be like, boom, done. We are out.
Out the door. I know, right? Timing.
Yeah.
Okay, so smoked turkey. All right. My friends are cooking for us. I don't know what they're going to have. I'm going to bring my world-famous mashed potatoes. I can't really cook much. I can cook about three things, and mashed potatoes are one thing I do exceedingly well.
I can't cook much, but I can smash things really well.
You know what? I can't smash things very well, and mashed potatoes are one thing I make very well. So I'm bringing the mashed potatoes.
Love
I might just have
potatoes.
To stop by. I know. I love mashed potatoes. And I might even bring a pie to the, because I'm not a big fan of pumpkin pie. So I may stop by Marie Callender's or something and get myself a pecan pie to bring to my friend's house. Just so I at least know I'll get one good slice of pie.
Have you ever had a sweet potato pie?
No. Is it good?
It is good when you're expecting sweet potato pie, but when you're expecting pumpkin pie, it is not as good.
It's all about your expectations, apparently.
I guess so. But you know what? We have, you know, all kidding aside, and we get on some of the topics that go on around this country and things that are going wrong and the corruption and all this. We have so much to be thankful for in this country. I mean, in most of the world, if we couldn't do what we're doing for a living. There's no way. And you go, you put your finger in there and go, you know what I think? And you face a firing squad.
Well, it's, you know what? And I think that's why we're so concerned that it's becoming more and more dangerous or more and more fringe to have these discussions.
We really just don't want it to become that kind of country.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, which part of what we do is to make sure that it doesn't. I mean, that's why we do what we do.
Yeah, I really have always seen my role as a talk show host. I've always seen myself not as any big shot or, you know, look who's there, you know, whatever, none of that crap. But just, I've kind of seen myself as a town crier. Like, hey, wait a minute, that's not right. Where's that money going to go? Or whatever. That's kind of the way I think talk show hosts are.
Well, we just did that in this segment, so I would guess I'd have to agree with it.
Hey, Madam Mayor, where's that? How much?
Can we get a little transparency?
$250 million. Can we get a line item on that? All I'm seeing is city shall receive $250 million plus an additional $30 million on contingency. So $280 million. I just like one line about where some of it's going, Madam Mayor. Just one? Can I just have one line? No?
Well, they'll discuss that over a very, very expensive dinner.
You know what?
A $200 million dinner.
At the mayor's relative's restaurant.
Yeah. Right.
You know, I want a full accounting of this, and you know there's never going to be one.
No.
It's never going to happen. I'd like to think so.
We're going
to
learn where a large chunk of it goes, but yeah, we'll never know where all of it goes.
That's the truth. All right. So remember, Sunday nights, every Sunday night, great talk radio block for you, 5 to 9 p.m., 5 to 7 p.m., Wiggins America.
Yeah, Wiggins America, 5 to 7 p.m. on Sunday nights and Saturday mornings from 6 to 8.
And the Heidi Harris Show, Sunday nights, 7 to 9 p.m. If you want to follow me on Twitter, Heidi at Heidi Harris Show on Twitter. What am I on? Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Heidi Harris Show, Heidi Harris Show, Heidi Harris Show, Heidi Harris Show, Heidi Harris Show. Annie will be back on Monday, correct, guys?
I believe that's the plan.
Okay. Well, she's having a couple of well-deserved days off. It's always a privilege to fill in for her. And you guys are always so much fun. You make it so easy.
Thanks, Heidi. Good to see you
again. Thank you.
Yeah, great seeing you guys again, too. So listen, don't forget, on the weekends, you can catch, you, obviously, our great stuff this afternoon, too. Mark Reardon's coming up here in a minute. And it's always a fun time filling in for Annie Fry. I'm Heidi Harris, in for Annie Fry. Everybody have a great Thanksgiving. I hope it's a very blessed event for you.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.